So let's follow through with where we left off from Acts. We will begin Acts chapter 12 today. And as always, I like to do a quick review of where we left off prior week. And we left off chapter 11, and we saw at the very end how a collection was being made by the brethren, the Gentile brethren. It's so interesting how things work out, right? We see that Peter, after baptizing Cornelius and the sovereign Joshua baptized Cornelius and all who was with him with the Spirit, then Peter baptized them. After seeing that, they were amazed. They did not believe that Gentiles were a part of all of this. They were shocked, as the scripture told us. And when Peter went back to Jerusalem, we saw in chapter 11 that the believers, the Jewish believers, were contending with them because it was their belief, their understanding, that Gentiles were not a part of this. So they were astounded. But when Peter explained everything that happened, how Elohim baptized Cornelius and those with him, with the Spirit, he learned that he could not hold back baptism from them and that they were all a part of it. And they held their peace, as we saw in verse 18, and they glorified Elohim, saying, "Then hath Elohim also the Gentiles granted repentance." So again, that's when that mystery was revealed to them. It was a hidden mystery. They didn't know. I cannot emphasize that enough. So now they know that the Gentiles are part of one body, as we read in Ephesians and Colossians and throughout the scriptures and the Old Testament also. But it was veiled to their eyes, to the understanding, until Elohim revealed it here through the work of Peter. And we saw that the believers who were scattered through the earlier persecution from Saul, that before Saul became a believer, they were scattered, but the Spirit got them to preach the gospel to the Grecians as well. So towards the end, they commissioned Barnabas to go to as far as Antioch. And in so doing, Barnabas, he went to Tarsus, as verse 25 told us, so he could find Saul or Paul. And having found them, they stayed with the congregations in Antioch, and according to as was agreed with the Jerusalem congregation, they did not go beyond Antioch, because they were told to go as far as Antioch. And so they did. They stayed there many days. There were prophets who were in their midst at that time, but one of them in particular, Agabus, as listed in verse 28, prophesied that there would be a drought throughout all the land, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And now look at what Elohim's provisions. Now, as we saw, the drought affected all and everyone needed relief. But where did the relief come from? Verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Isn't that amazing how Elohim does things? So just in time, he showed the disciples, the Jewish disciples, firstly to Peter, that they needed to preach to everybody, including the Gentiles. Then shortly after, a drought happens, and through whose hand does he send the deliverance? Through the hands of Gentile believers. So now the Gentile believers are the ones that are helping the Judean believers. That's amazing. That's the work of Elohim. So then the disciples were of every man according to his ability determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Isn't that one? That's wonderful. So that's where we left off. That's the unity of the brethren, and that's an example of the fellowship of the Spirit. As we saw, as I mentioned last Sabbath, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were there. But however, the Spirit chose to expressly reveal that a drought would be coming through Agabus, who was not necessarily a Jewish believer. I'm not sure if he is or not, but the point is there's no room for who is in charge. It's very important that we notice that. They're not concerned about who's in charge. They're just concerned about the will of Elohim. No matter who among them, Elohim fulfills his will through. It's not a matter, well, I'm Barnabas or I'm Paul. Elohim's going to work through me. No, Elohim will work through all the believers. And this time he did so through the prophet, specifically Agabus, who told them of the coming drought. And by so they organized, they came together to send relief to the Judeans. That's why we, as believers today, we need to learn to band together. I know that we have been divided by falsehood, by all sorts of false doctrines from quote-unquote churches or congregations that became corrupt. And so we find ourselves scattered and not having a place to go. But we need to find our brethren and unite with them, and the Spirit of Elohim will strengthen us and build our numbers again in truth. The light will always overcome the darkness. The truth will always overcome falsehood. Goodness will always overcome evil. So we need to seek out each other, just as Barnabas was sent, but he went to find Saul. And then they went to find other brethren. So that's very important. Then we will be strong enough to help each other, because we will know by the Spirit who each other are, who are truly his. His Spirit will give us that spirit of discernment so we can recognize each other. How? By the love for Elohim and for each other that's in our hearts. That's how we're going to know. So let's continue with chapter 12. So chapter 12, I'm going to read as time will allow, because I have to allow for our brother Willard to do a teaching today. And I'm grateful that he offered to teach today. So let's go. Acts chapter 12, verses 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the congregation. And he killed James, Jacob, the brother of John, Yohanan, with the sword. Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews or the Judaizers of that time, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the congregation of the Kehillah unto Elohim for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Eternal came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he says, now I know of a surety that the sovereign hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews or Judaizers. Okay, so let's go back. So it was about that same time that relief was being sent to Jerusalem, during that same time that Claudius Caesar was ruling. About that time, Herod the king wanted to vex or trouble or harass the congregation of Elohim, the congregation, the Kahal, the Ecclesia. he wanted to trouble them. So the darkness is moving. But as the darkness is moving, but Yeshua is the light of the world, as the song said. And this man, Herod, did an evil thing. He killed James, the brother of John. John, the apostle John, he killed his brother. And because he saw it pleased those of Judaism, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So these were the days of unleavened bread. So that's the timing. So let's stop a little bit. So through demonic forces and influence, attack against the congregation, the Kehila, the Ecclesia of Elohim, he reached out his hand and killed James, Jacob, the brother of John. That's one of the disciples. He killed him with the sword. And then that's not enough. When he saw he pleased the Jews, he's trying to be popular. He wants to secure his position, Herod, among other self-centered goals. So when he saw, this pleased those of the Judaistic faith, it pleased them. So then he saw this as an opportunity to gain their favor and proceeded to also take Peter. So he took Peter. And when did this happen? The days of unleavened bread. And he put Peter in prison. For what intention? He put him in prison. Why didn't he kill him immediately? He killed James. Why did he wait? Why did he not kill Peter the same thing and please the Judaizers? Because it was the days of unleavened bread. And he kept him in prison intending after Passover, that is after the days of unleavened bread are completed, to bring him forth to the people to kill him. Dear brethren, as I've been teaching in the course of the weeks during the holy days, this is exactly what they did to our Savior. A lot of people think our Savior was killed the same day he was judged. No, he was not killed the same day he was judged. It's very clear. The Bible tells us that in the Gospel of John, he was condemned, that Pilate gave the order for our Savior to be killed in the afternoon. It's in the afternoon he finally made that decision, okay? Because the back and forth of the trial, as I said, started early morning after the Jewish leaders decided that they agreed enough, they had enough push to convince Pilate to have Messiah killed. So they took him in the morning after sunrise to Pilate. As I've pointed out over and over, Pilate did not want to have him executed. So there was a lot of deliberation going back and forth between the accusers and Pilate. And finally, since they found no fault in him, then when he learned that Messiah was a Galilean of Herod's jurisdiction, he made arrangements and sent him to Herod. And so this takes time. And then Herod, the scriptures tell us, they accused him. They had many things they accused him of before Herod. And Herod also asked him many questions and wanted to see signs of him. Then he set him as naught. So this took time too. And then found no fault worthy of death, sent him back to Pilate. Arrangement. Pilate wasn't expecting him, but he made arrangement to send him back to Pilate. And when Pilate received them, Pilate again tried very hard not to put him to death, saying he find no fault in him. He even had him flogged to the intent that he's punished. Now let him go. No. So he called for, he do what he normally does during the feast days, the days of unleavened bread. He gave him a choice between a known criminal, and of course they chose the known criminal. Then at 12 noon, the scriptures tells us in the book of John, he took his seat at the praetorium. He took his seat and made the decision and delivered Messiah to their will, to the will of the evil rulers. That happened sometime in the afternoon. But we know Messiah was crucified in the morning. The book of Mark tells us he was crucified during the third hour, which is about approximately 9 a.m. our time during the spring season. So if he was condemned at 12 in the afternoon, but actually killed at 9 a.m. Obviously, it was on a different day, not the same day. These are biblical facts. And so this is why we need to understand, once that happened, he could not have been executed during Passover, and he could not be executed during that entire week, as commonly taught, because he said he would be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. If he was not crucified that same day, there's no way he would have been, after 3 days and three nights, it would have not been a weekend resurrection, as the scripture tells us. So the same thing that happened here to Peter is the same thing that had happened to our Savior. As a matter of fact, the scriptures even said that the leaders did not want to have him killed during the feast day, lest there be what? An uproar. Pilate was in no hurry to kill him. It was the Jews that wanted him dead. So they held him for 7 days until the days of unleavened bread were over. Then the following Wednesday, they executed our Savior. And that's why Elohim gave us the days of unleavened bread for 7 days. As I've mentioned, the Torah does not really give us a reason as to why 7 days. And why is it called the bread of affliction when it should have been called the bread of freedom? Because if it was a sign of their freedom, but yet the bread in the Torah and the scriptures is called the bread of affliction. Why the bread of affliction and not the bread of freedom? Because the bread, as Messiah said, this is my body, this, eat it. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me until I come. Because he would have been in prison for 7 days. And he was in prison for 7 days. And after the 7 days, he was crucified for us. And on the day of first fruits, he rose from the dead. All that was covered in the previous terms, but I wanted to show the connection with how this is the same thing that happened to Peter. Verse 4 tells us he was put in prison and had guards over him, just like our Messiah did during the days of unleavened bread. And then intending, after Passover, to bring him forth to the people, to have him killed, right? So verse 5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the congregation unto Elohim for him. When we have problems, when there is a cause, in a great cause, we need to be able to find each other and assemble, whether physically or over the phone, or we set a time at such and such time, at such and such day, we're all going to fast, or we're all going to pray all at once to Elohim. We're all going to pray to Elohim for deliverance until the matter has ended. So they prayed without ceasing. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth that same night. Now notice, Elohim could have set Peter free at any time, but he wanted to make sure they understood his power. Because understand, that same night when Herod wanted to bring him forth, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains, and everything was locked up with guards, but an angel came to him and full of light and set him free. Set him free. Told him, gird yourself, bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he saith him, put your garments on and follow me. And he followed him. And as he's doing this, he didn't even know it was real. He thought it was a dream. He wasn't sure. So he came out. So the chains fell off his hands and his feet. The doors just opened automatically. The iron gate just opened. And the iron gate was obviously locked and guarded, but it just opened by itself. It says, and when they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened, it opened by itself. And they went out and passed through one street. And then forthwith the angel departed. The angel did not leave him until he knew Peter was safe. He guarded Peter until Peter was safe. So it's the same thing. If our Elohim is not a respecter of persons, if we do this thing, if we do what he said in his prayer in John 17, that is be united. Search out those who love Elohim and love others. That's how you're going to know. It's not if they know to keep the Sabbath. It's not if they know the holies. No, because all of us loved can look back in our lives when we did not know the Sabbath, when we did not know about the holy days, when we probably didn't know anything about Hebrew, but we loved Elohim and he cared for us. So we have to be careful not to alienate those who are in their walk where we were. There are so many people who love Elohim, just don't know what we know yet, but they still love him. And so we need to find all, whether who love Elohim and love people and manifest by their works, not by their words. We'll know they love people. We'll know how they love Elohim by how they obey every single thing they understand. They don't compromise what they know and understand. They keep the commandments, all the commandments that they do know. And as they learn more, they will keep more because they love Elohim. And for the sake of their love and faith in him, they obey him. So we have to find those kinds, those fellow brethren and sisters, so we could pray in times of need and he will deliver us. He will do great things for us. So let's continue. So let's end. I'm going to end here. So, and it says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of surety that the Eternal hath sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of Judaism, of the Jews. So we stop here. All right. So notice, this was such an amazing thing that Peter did not even realize it was real. It's only afterwards he came to his senses and realized this is not just a dream. I'm really free. I'm really free. So we stop here, brethren. So thank you for listening. And if you have questions or comments later on, I'll gladly take any comments or additional information you would like to point out about what we've just gone over. Thank you for listening.